Open your Bibles with me to 1 Kings. 1 Kings. And we're going to go to chapter 22. Now, we're going to be talking about a king here, and that king's name is Ahab. Anybody ever heard the name of Ahab? Well, you know, if you were younger, you would remember a popular song way back. I don't remember, was it in the 70s? Ahab the Arab? Remember that one? Well, it's not that Ahab, okay? We're talking about the Ahab of the Bible. But to help you know who he is, Jezebel was his wife. Does Jezebel ring a bell with any of you? She was a very manipulative baby killer that worshipped Baal. And she manipulated her husband, the king. Matter of fact, at one point in chapter 21 there, Naboth's got a vineyard close to the castle there, close to the king's property there. And the king wants it, and he offers to buy it off from him. And Naboth says, well, you know, this is my inheritance. This has been passed down through my family. I couldn't sell it. No way. And so the king goes home pouting. And he's laying around, won't eat, pouting. His wife comes, says, what's the matter with you, Neve? He tells what happened, you know. And then she begins to instruct others and has some people bring false witness against Naboth, lie on him, and they take him out and stone him. And then she goes back and tells Ahab, says, go ahead and take your property. He's dead now. So that's the kind of people we're talking about when we talk about Ahab. But here in chapter 22, let's pick this up here. We're going to begin in verse 1. Now, we're going to read some today, but I want you to see the whole story. It says, and they continued 3 years without war between Syria and Israel. And it came to pass in the third year that Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, came down to the king of Israel, which is Ahab. And the king of Israel said unto his servants, know ye that Ramoth-Gilead is ours, and we be still, and take it not out of the hand of the king of Syria. And he said unto Jehoshaphat, wilt thou go with me to battle to Ramoth-Gilead? And Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, I am as thou art, my people as thy people, my horses as thy horses. And Jehoshaphat said unto the king of Israel, inquire, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord today. Then the king of Israel gathered the prophets together, about 400 men, and said to them, shall I go against Ramoth-Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear? And they said, go up, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. And Jehoshaphat said, is there not here a prophet of the Lord besides, that we might inquire of him? And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, there is yet one man, Micaiah, the son of Imlah, by whom we may inquire the Lord, but I hate him. For he doth not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. Jehoshaphat said, let not the king say so. Then the king of Israel called an officer and said, hasten hither, Micaiah, the son of Imlah. And the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, sat down, each on his throne, having put on their robes, in a void place in the entrance of the gate of Samaria, and all the prophets prophesied before them. And Zedekiah, the son of Chenaah, made him horns of iron, and he said, thus saith the Lord, with these shalt thou push the Syrians until thou hast consumed them. And all the prophets prophesied, so saying, go up to Ramoth-Gilead and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it into the king's hands. And the messenger that was gone to call Micaiah spake unto him, saying, behold now, the words of the prophets declare good unto the king with one mouth. Let thy word, I pray thee, be like the word of one of them, and speak that which is good. And Micaiah said, as the Lord liveth, what the Lord saith unto me, that will I speak. So he came to the king, and the king saith unto him, Micaiah, shall we go against Ramoth-Gilead to battle, or shall we forbear? And he answered him, go and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. And the king said to him, how many times shall I endure thee, that thou tell me nothing but that which is true in the name of the Lord? And he said, I saw all Israel scattered upon the hills as sheep that have not a shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no master. Let them return every man to his house in peace. And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, did I not tell thee that he would prophesy no good concerning me, but evil? And he said, hear thou therefore the words of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, and all the host of heaven standing by him, on his right hand and on his left. And the Lord said, who shall persuade Ahab that he may go up and fall at Ramoth Gilead? And one said on this manner, and another said on that manner. And there came forth a spirit and stood before the Lord and said, I will persuade him. And the Lord said to him, wherewith? And he said, I will go forth and I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And he said, thou shalt persuade him and prevail also. Go forth and do so. Now, therefore, behold, the Lord hath put a lying spirit in the mouth of all these thy prophets, and the Lord hath spoken evil concerning thee. But Zedekiah, the son of Shenea, went near and smote Micaiah on the cheek and said, which way went the Spirit of the Lord from me to speak to thee? Micaiah said, behold, thou shalt see in that day when thou shalt go into an inner chamber to hide thyself. And the king of Israel said, take Micaiah and carry him back unto Amnon, the governor of the city, and to Joash, the king's son, and say, thus saith the king, put this fellow in prison and feed him with bread of affliction and with water of affliction until I come in peace. And Micaiah said, if thou return at all in peace, the Lord have not spoken by me. And he said, hearken, O people, every one of you. So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, went up to Ramoth Gilead. And the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, I will disguise myself and enter into battle. But put thou on thy robes. And the king of Israel disguised himself and went into battle. But the king of Syria commanded his 32 captains that had rule over the chariots, saying, fight neither with small or great, save only the king of Israel. And it came to pass, when the captains of the chariots saw Jehoshaphat, that they said, surely it is the king of Israel. And they turned aside to fight against him, and Jehoshaphat cried out. And it came to pass, when the captains of the chariots perceived that it was not, was not the king of Israel, they turned back from pursuing him. And a certain man drew a bow at a venture and smote the king of Israel between the joints of the harness. Wherefore he said to the driver of his chariot, turn thy hand and carry me out of the host, for I am wounded. And the battle increased that day, and the king stayed in his chariot against the Syrians and died at evening. And the blood ran out of the wound into the midst of the chariot. And there went out a proclamation throughout the host about the going down of the sun, saying, every man to his city and every man to his own country. So the king died and was brought to Samaria, and they buried the king in Samaria. Now, I could read on and finish the chapter, but we've said enough so that you get what's going on. Ahab, a very, very wicked king, has done despicable things. Chapter 21, I told you about him, Naboth being killed. And because the prophet came to him there after it happened, he repented in sackcloth and ashes. And the Lord said, he still loves me. I'm not going to make him have to pay right now. And so now we bring this story in and we see that here's the king. He disguised himself, Ahab does. And all of a sudden an arrow comes from nowhere. And it gets between his armor and it kills him. How many knows that arrow had a designation on it? It was sent to Ahab. Now, let's get back to where I want to get to, because I want to show you. Did you notice there that when they were getting ready, we see the Lord here with his counsel, and he's talking about, I'm going to get rid of Ahab. What do I need to do to get him to go up to Gilmath? And of course, you know, when we're reading this, we're like, Lord, you already know. But we're bringing the story in. And all of a sudden, here comes this spirit. This spirit and says, I'll go do it. And the Lord says, how are you going to do it? And he said, I'm going to go down and I'm going to be a lying spirit in the mouth of all the prophets. And the Lord said, that'll work. Go ahead and do it. Now, I want us to see this because notice that it's a lying spirit. See, here's the thing that we have to kind of understand is that the purpose of a lie is to get others to believe it. Amen. That's the purpose. Now I want you to notice something. All the prophets were saying the same thing. Every one of them were saying the same thing. Every one of them were saying, "Go on up, you're going to prevail. Go up, you're going to, you know." And then we have you know Zedekiah there, who's he even makes a big show of it. Builds the thing of iron and said, "You're going to drive them," you know. And God hadn't said any of that. It was all lies. You see, everybody speaking the same thing caused everybody, even the King Ahab, to believe what they were saying. So once you get a hold of this, even though when Micaiah came up, he was not deceived by that lying spirit, he told them what the Lord said. They wouldn't believe him because everybody else was saying something different. So you have to be careful. Just because everybody's saying something don't mean it's true. And so you have to be careful about the lying spirits. Everyone believed the prophets, even Ahab. See, here's the thing. When we start looking at lying and the lies, understand this. A lie affects both the teller and the hearer. Amen. Now listen to what the Bible says in Revelation 21:8. It says, "But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." See, a lot of times liars think they get away with it. But God knows. God knows the truth. They may deceive us, but God knows the truth. Here, God tells them the truth, but they don't want to hear the truth. Isn't it amazing how some people would rather believe a lie as to believe the truth? Come on, think about it for a minute. There are folks that rather believe a lie than to believe the truth. Amen. And, you know, here's the thing about a liar. A liar, a lot of times, they'll try to lie to you and you being able to see the difference or being able to know the difference. They're trying to lie to you to get you to believe them when you know better. So we have to learn to discern and know what the Word of the Lord says. So when the liars come, and they're there, amen. The spirit that this lying spirit is still in operation today. Amen. And so we have to be careful because it affects both. Now, let me show you here in 1 Kings chapter 13, if you want to jump over there with me. 1 Kings chapter 13. We're going to read a little bit here too because I want you to get this whole story. It says, "Behold, there came a man of God out of Judah, and the word of the Lord unto Bethel, and Jeroboam stood by the word of the Lord unto Bethel, and Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense. And he cried against the altar in the word of the Lord and said, O altar, altar, thus saith the Lord, behold, a child shall be born into the house of David, Josiah by name, and upon thee shall he offer the priest of the high places that burn incense upon thee, and men's bones shall be burned upon thee. And he gave a sign the same day, saying, this is the sign which the Lord hath spoken. Behold, the altar shall be rent, and the ashes that are upon it shall be poured out. It came to pass when King Jeroboam heard the saying of the man of God, which had cried against the altar in Bethel, that he put forth his hand from the altar, saying, lay hold on him. And his hand, which he put forth against him, dried up, so that he could not pull it again to him. The altar also was rent, the ashes poured out from the altar, according to the sign which the man of God had given by the word of the Lord. And the king answered and said to the man of God, entreat now the face of the Lord thy God, and pray for me, that my hand may be restored again. And the man of God besought the Lord, and the king's hand was restored him again, and became as it was before. And the king said to the man of God, come home with me, and refresh thyself, and I will give thee a reward. And the man of God said to the king, if thou wilt give me half thine house, I will not go in with thee, neither will I eat bread nor drink water in this place. For so it was charged me by the word of the Lord, saying, eat no bread, nor drink water, nor turn by the same way that thou camest. So he went another way and returned not by the way that he came to Bethel. Now there dwelt an old prophet in Bethel, and his sons came and told him all the works that the man of God had done that day in Bethel, the words which he had told, which he had spoken unto the king. Them they told also to their father. And their father said to them, what way went he? For his sons had seen what way the man of God went, which came from Judah. And he said to his sons, saddle me the ass. So they saddled him the ass, and he rode thereon. And he went after the man of God and found him sitting under an oak. And he said to him, art thou the man of God that camest from Judah? And he said, I am. Then he said to him, come home with me and eat bread. And he said, I may not return with thee, nor go in with thee, neither will I eat bread nor drink water with thee in this place. For it was said to me by the word of the Lord, thou shalt eat no bread nor drink no water there, nor turn again to go by the way thou camest. He said unto him, I'm a prophet also as thou art. And an angel spake unto me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back with thee into thine house, that he may eat bread and drink water. But he lied unto him. So he went back with him, and he did eat bread in his house, and he drank water. And it came to pass, as they sat at the table, that the word of the Lord came unto the prophet that brought him back. And he cried to the man of God that came from Judah, saying, thus saith the Lord, for as much as thou hast obeyed the mouth of the Lord, and hast not kept the commandment which the Lord thy God commanded thee, but camest back and hast eaten bread and drunk water in the place of which the Lord did say to thee, eat no bread and drink no water, thy carcass shall not come into the sepulchre of thy fathers. Came to pass, after he had eaten bread and after he had drunk, that he saddled for him the ass, to wit, for the prophet whom he had brought back. And when he was gone, a lion met him by the way and slew him. And his carcass was cast in the way, and the ass stood by it. And the lion also stood by the carcass. And behold, men passed by and saw the carcass cast in the way, and the lion standing by the carcass. And they came and told it in the city where the old prophet dwelt. And when the prophet that brought him back the way heard thereof, he said, it is the man of God who was disobedient to the word of the Lord. Therefore the Lord hath delivered him unto the lion, which hath torn him and slain him, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake unto him. And he spake to his son and said, saddle me the ass. And he saddled him. And he went and found the carcass and cast in the way, and the ass and the lion standing by the carcass. The lion had not eaten the carcass nor torn the ass. And the prophet took up the carcass of the man of God and laid it upon the ass and brought it back. And the old prophet came to the city to mourn and to bury him. And he laid his carcass in his own grave. And they mourned over him, saying, alas, my brother. Now, I wanted to read all that so you could see what's going on here. Here we have a man of God that goes in. We know he's a man of God because we see what happens. He prophesies over the altar. And when King Jeroboam tries to get a hold of him because he doesn't want to hear what he's saying, his hand apparently dries up. And he asks him to pray, and his hand gets restored. But the old prophet, I find this an unusual story, because this guy apparently at some time or another was a prophet of the Lord. But you've got to understand, Jeroboam was a very, very wicked king, and he worshipped false gods. So apparently this prophet had settled in with King Jeroboam, and so he was a backslidden prophet. He was no longer a prophet of God the way the man of God was. But notice this, the man of God's minding his own business, obeying the word of the Lord, and here comes the old prophet to him, and when he tells him, I can't go back with you, that the word of the Lord said I can't, then what happens? He lies to him. I'm a prophet too, and an angel spoke to me and told me. Notice that. Well, you see, the man of God had a word from the Lord. How many knows a word from the Lord's better than a word from somebody else? Come on now, when you know something for certain, then when somebody else tells you something different, you better kind of stay away from that. Amen, right? So, but he still, because he says he's a prophet, and because he says the angel spoke to him, told him to go back, he went back, and then that was disobeying the Lord, and because he disobeyed the Lord, he died. Notice the old prophet said, well, that's that man of God up there. He disobeyed the word of the Lord. It was his fault. I, you know, that's kind of one of those things I want to ask the Lord sometime. How come you didn't kill the old prophet too? How come you didn't take him out for lying? But you see, the point of the story is for you to understand that because the man of God believed the lie, it cost him his life. And so we have to be careful that we don't believe lies that can cost us our life, can be detrimental to us, right? Come on, we want to make sure that we're believing the truth of the Word of God, not what somebody else says or take somebody else's word for it. We have a more sure word of prophecy. We have the Word of God that we can know the truth. Come on, you. I don't got to ask somebody about certain subjects. It's already here. Come on. I don't got to ask somebody else about homosexuality. I have God's Word on it. And God says it's wrong. It's an abomination to Him. Right? I don't have to ask anybody about killing innocent babies, abortion. Thou shalt not shed innocent blood. It's real simple. Matter of fact, when you study out the Word of God, Jezebel's thing, Ahab's wife, her thing was sacrificing babies to the god Baal. And abortion is nothing but Baal worship. It's sacrificing those babies. Come on now, don't get mad at me. See, you say, well, yeah, but you know, I believe a woman's got the right to her. Listen, it's not her body. Once she's got a right to make a decision not to have sex. That's her decision. But once she decides to do that and that baby comes to life, then that baby's another person. Come on, I don't know if you've seen the little thing on Facebook or not, but the baby that's on the inside is the same baby that comes out. It's the same person. Come on now. You see, so I can look in the Word of God and I can see truth, so I don't have to believe somebody else's lie. Come on. Now, you can have your opinion about something. That's fine. You can have your lifestyle about something, but don't try to tell me that it's true or that it's right. Because I got the Word of God that tells me what's true and what's right. And so do you. So we have to be careful. The man of God, if he was stuck with God, with the Word of God that he had been given, he would have been alive and he had been able to go back home. But instead he believed the lie and it cost him his life. Now, in Matthew chapter 2, I won't go read it because I've read quite a bit, but I want to bring this out. In Matthew chapter 2, we read it all the time at Christmas. It's the story of the wise men that come to visit the baby Jesus. Remember, they come and they say, "Where he is he that's born, the King of the Jews? We've seen his star in the east and we've come to see him." And Herod hears about it, and he goes and gets it. He has to bring them to me. And he begins to ask them, "Where'd you hear about this? What's all going on?" And they begin to tell him what the Bible says about it, you know, or the scroll of Scripture say about it, you know. And he tells the wise men, here's what he says to them. He says, "You go and you search diligently for the child. And when you find him, you come back and tell me so that I can go and worship him too." Okay? What did Herod just do? Herod just pretended that he wanted what everybody else wanted, to worship Jesus. So, of course, the wise men go on. They find the baby Jesus. He really is in the house by this time, probably sometime maybe 3 years old. But he's in the house. They give him the gifts, you know, frankincense and myrrh, right, and gold. They give it all to him. But the Bible says that they were warned of God not to go back and tell Herod. See, here's the thing about liars. Sometimes they are so good that they're convincing. Herod was so convincing that the wise men would have went back and told him where Jesus was at. But God warned them, don't go back that way. Now, once Herod found out that the wise men had not come back and that he had been deceived, he got so angry. And see, here's the real heart of Herod. That because he didn't find out who Jesus was or where he was, instead of him trying to find, all he does, he kills every child 2 years old and under. Is anybody seeing the theme here? We're killing babies. Come on now. It's still going on today. We're still killing babies. Why? Because there's a devil loose. Come on, he hates mankind. Come on. See, We don't know if we've not already killed the cure to cancer, the cure to diabetes, the cure to whatever. How do we know that we've not aborted the one that God sent to take care of us? We believe the lies. Come on now. You know, you can get mad at me if you want to, but you can get charged for manslaughter if you kill a pregnant woman because of the baby, a double manslaughter, because she's pregnant. But they can kill the same baby through abortion and it's okay. And the sad part is they're wanting to do it right up to the time of birth. I know you're getting mad at me. You shouldn't preach this way. Somebody's got to tell the truth. Because everybody's lying. And, you know, that's the thing. I saw a little thing on Facebook and said, yeah, we want to protect the babies, but you won't feed them after they, you know. Yeah, we will, but it's not the government's job to feed people. Come on. We're supposed to work. Get jobs. Come on, it's the parents' job to take care of their kids, not the government or the grandparents. I'm throwing some truth at you. You might not like it, but I'm not going to lie to you. Tell you that's the way it's supposed to be, because it's not. Now, thank God for caring grandparents, you know. I mean, thank God for that. Matter of fact, if you ask some of these teachers that won for some of the grandparents, the kids would be in trouble. But you see, again, the lies you can try this drug and it won't affect you. But they try the drug and they're addicted they're hooked because they believe the lie. And see, that's the thing. You know, the devil is a liar and the father of lies. You do understand that, right? And he's going to lie to you and tell you, it won't hurt you. Isn't it amazing how the devil tells you, you know, that it won't bother you, it won't affect you. You can do it. It won't. You're not like everybody else. You know, there have been many overdose that thought they wouldn't overdose, because the devil would tell them you won't overdose like your friend did, but sooner or later it happens. You know why? Because you're so drugged out of your head that you don't know when you took the last drug, and so you think it's been a long time, but you just took it and passed out for 5 minutes, and you took it again, and all of a sudden now you're OD. I know it gets quiet. It's touched all of our families. Everybody's been touched by this kind of thing. And it's because there's a lying spirit out there that lies to them and tells them they can't get off from it. That tells them nobody loves them, nobody cares about them, and we know better than that. We'd do anything for them. Matter of fact, a lot of parents have absolutely broke themselves trying to help their kids. But the kids continue to believe the lie. So Herod, he's here, and he lies and acts like he wants to worship the Lord. Can I tell you that there's a lot of folks that act like they want Jesus in their life and act like they serve Jesus, act like they're Christians, and they don't even know who Jesus is. Amen. You say, well, now, Pastor, listen. Jesus said, you'll know the tree by the fruit it bears. Come on now. So if I'm a Christian, I ought to be bearing fruits of God, right? I ought to be bearing fruits of the Word of God. So if I'm a Christian, I can't be for killing babies. You can get mad at me about this if you want to, but I can't be for that because God's against that. I cannot be for homosexuality. Now, I can love the people, and I do. But the act is wrong according to the Word of God. So I can't condone it and can't say it's all right. Now, see, that's again, people try to act like. Herod tried to act like he wanted to worship Jesus. But you can act all you want to. Unless your heart's right with God, you're not going to heaven. Come on. And your actions will be what tells on you. Come on, Jesus had some come to him and they said, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, done many works in your name? He said, depart from me, I never knew you. He said, why are you calling me Lord and not doing the things that I say? Right? See, because if we're going to call Him Lord, then we've got to do what the Word says. If we're going to call Him Lord, then we've got to stick with the truth. We can't believe the lies. Come on. We can't be a liar ourselves, right? All liars are going to end up in the lake of fire. Amen. I just read that to you. But at the same time, you see, we have to be careful that we don't believe lies that gets us in trouble. Come on. See, because there's the tellers. I'll give you a good example of some more tellers. How many remembers Ananias and Sapphira? The church is getting started up in the book of Acts, and people are excited about the Lord Jesus. The new Christians, they're excited because God is working mightily among them. The Bible says that they've got all things in common, and people are buying and selling. And if they have stuff, they'll sell it, and they're dividing it among each other so make sure everybody's needs are being met. And it says there was a couple named Ananias and Sapphira. And they decided that they had something, and they were going to sell it. And so they saw everybody, you know, doing all this, and they wanted to get in on it. So they sold their property, they sold their goods, and they went to Peter, and they said, here is the money from our property that we sold. And Peter looks at them. You see, you can't lie to the Holy Ghost. And he says, why have you set it in your heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? And he dropped dead there. You say, well, what he brought? You know, see, here's the thing. Before they got there, Ananias and Sapphira had already made a pact that they were going to say they sold it for that. Now, here's what you've got to get on this. God didn't care what they gave. That was up to them. But they lied and said, this is what we got out of the property and we want to give it all to everybody. They could have said, we sold that property for $1,000 and we want to give $500 to the cause. And they'd have been absolutely blessed. But instead, they lied. He dropped dead. They carried him out. A little while later, his wife comes in. Peter looks and says, did you all sell the property for this price? She said, yep, that's what we sold it for. He said, the same people that carried out your husband are going to carry you out too. And she fell dead. Their lie kill them. Man, I'm glad we don't just drop dead from lying now, aren't you? Come on, because every lie don't have to be one that you say. Sometimes it can be something you do. Come on, right? So we have to watch ourselves. We have to be careful. Church, we're children of God. Men and women of God. We worship Jesus Christ who died on a cross for us. And because we do that, we have to be examples of believers. Come on. You know, I've heard tales back in the past that people would say, that's one of them lying deacons. Now, I'm not saying we got any lying deacons, but I remember them talking about them. Man, and they were telling the truth about that. And, you know, I know who it was. And they just seemed to lie. And some folks, you know, they get so caught up in their lies that they believe them themselves. But that's what that spirit does, you see. You got to understand, the more you yield yourself to a spirit, the more that spirit is going to be able to control you. Did you hear me? The more you allow a lying spirit to operate through you, the more it's going to operate through you. The more you listen to lying spirits, the more you're going to believe them. So you have to be careful about what you're listening to. Come on now. We need truth, church. Come on. The Bible says we've got to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Now, of course, as we start looking and start thinking about the lying, you know, I said it a few minutes ago that lying spirit's still in operation today. And probably one of the biggest lies that anybody has ever believed is that lie when the enemy comes in and says, don't worry about giving your life to Jesus now, you got plenty of time. Come on, isn't that right? That's what that lying spirit's still doing. He's telling people, oh, you don't need to give your life to Jesus. You've got plenty of time. And see, the truth is, if you don't have Jesus, you don't have the promise of even another breath. That's the truth. That lying spirit will say, well, you ought to just wait till next week. It'll be more convenient. You know, this is a holiday weekend. You don't, right? See, you can do it next week when it's not so busy. I mean, after all, you're going to go home, cook out and stuff tonight. You don't got time to be fooling without all that stuff anyway right now. He's a good liar. But you see, the Bible says he's the father of lies. So he knows how to lie. You've got to understand that the devil has been here ever since mankind's been here. Actually, he was before mankind was here. And he knows how to deal with mankind. He knows how to deceive mankind. We have proof of that in the Garden of Eden. See, he didn't have to just lie. All he had to do was be deceptive. And sometimes that's all a lie is a deception. He told them, you'll not surely die. God knows that you'll be like him. And he was right. See, it wasn't a lie. They didn't die physically, but they died spiritually. But that was his goal, was to separate them from God. And God had to come back and make it right. You see, right now, that's exactly what the devil wants to do. He wants to keep you separated from God if you've not made Jesus Lord of your life. That's why he tells you to wait. That's why he tells you you've got plenty of time. That's why he says come back later and tells you, I mean, he's got all the lies. But if you believe those lies, you see, it could bring death to you. It's already bringing spiritual death, but it could bring physical death. Do you really want to take a chance with your eternity by believing the lies of the devil? Or do you want to believe the truth of the word that says today, if you hear my voice, harden not your heart. What's he saying? He's saying, today, if you hear my voice, act on it. Move on it. Don't put it on. Don't listen to the liar. Listen to my words that say, I love you. I let my son die for you. He gave his life for you. And if you'll call upon the name of the Lord, you shall be saved. But you've got to make that choice. You young folk, a lot of times, one of the greatest weapons against you is you're young. You've got your whole life ahead of you. Why in the world would you want to give your life to the Lord now? You can wait. You've got plenty of time. I can take you to some cemeteries and show you some dates on some tombstones. And you'll find that death is no respecter of persons either. Now, I pray you live to be 125, 30. But there's no promise of that, you see, without Jesus in your life. Do you know that with Jesus in your life, you have promise of length of days? Amen. See, the promises of God are yes and amen to us. I believe his word. I believe that truth. But without Jesus, you're without hope. You're without promise. And you're without heaven. And so this morning, I want us just to think about what we've talked about the Word and how the lies cause people to lose their life. And let me ask you, are you willing to let the lies of the devil stop you from receiving eternal life here this morning? I'm going to ask everybody to stand with me if you would, and let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we know that there's lies that are being broadcast all over this earth, that lying spirit still in operation. We know the enemy is lying to even people that are in this congregation this morning, telling them things that are just not true. And I pray, Father, this morning that you'll give them clarity of mind, that they won't be deceived by that lying spirit and they'll see and know for sure today's the day they need to give their life to you. Today's the day they need to rededicate. Today's the day they need to make a new commitment to you and begin new life with you. Father, help us not to believe the lies and open our minds and our eyes so that we can see the truth and know that you're our Lord and whatever your word says is what goes for us. And we just thank you for that this morning. Lord, you deal with hearts as only you can. And we give you glory for that. In Jesus' name, amen.